This evening the talk is called Being Happy, Staying Happy. And Antonella is joining us from Bologna. Antonella has run a successful fashion business in Sardinia and is currently coordinating meditation activities right through Italy. We were chatting the other day, and Antonella was telling me how people are really exploring meditation in a very large way in Italy today. That's really lovely. So the talk today, do we look for happiness in achievements in others? Do we find happiness, or does happiness find us? Do you have the habit of delaying your happiness and by saying, I'll finish this task and then I will be? So you're delaying your happiness until everything is just right in your life. Who actually controls my happiness? Those are some of the things that we're going to invite Antonella to share on. But the other two things, the tools, being purposely happy right here, right now, is that possible? And what's the tool for that? And staying happy, regardless of the weather, with regardless of the cold, or if things are going right or wrong in our life, can we keep staying happy, or is that just a tall order? So, Antonella, we're going to hand over to you. Antonella will be taking questions and answers after her talk. She'll do a short meditation and then take your questions and answers. All you need to do is send your questions to us via the question and answer link on your registration. We'll see those questions and we will put your questions to Antonella. Thank you. Antonella, over to you.
Thank you so much, Arti, and very happy, of course, in tune with the topic to be here with all of you. And I thought I was going to start with the piece of my story, because it's very much connected with happiness. I used to live in Japan for some time because I studied Japanese. That was my degree. And while I was living in Tokyo, and I had a normal student life, then one day I was walking in those little streets. I don't know if you've been to Tokyo, but it's a mixture of big skyscrapers, big avenue, and little street where the time seems to be stopped. And I was walking in one of those little streets with the wooden houses, very small in wood, with the door like the shoji, the door, opening this way with the rice paper and the women in kimono. It was really like being out of time. And at the end of the road, of that little street, there was a big road where people were just running, crossing in both ways and traffic. It looked like two different worlds. And I was walking in this little road and I was just tasting the peaceful atmosphere there. And looking right at the top, at the bottom of the road with that kind of traffic and movement, I thought, where are they rushing? Where are they running? Why are they running so fast? And then I turned towards myself and asked me the same question, but I'm not different from them. Where am I running? Why am I rushing towards what? And then I remember I slowed down my walking, thinking of that question. And I think it was one of the few moments I asked myself a meaningful question. And then the second one was, am I happy? And it was a kind of a shock when I replied myself, no. You can imagine, I was 27, maybe 26. I had an incredible life. I had my own business in one wonderful place. My family was fine. My boyfriend was fantastic. I had no reason to reply no. But that's what my heart said. And it was so natural, so spontaneous. It was real. And so I start asking again, no? So what's happiness? And that was a turning point in my life, because suddenly many thoughts came up after that led me to look for something different, that something, you know, if whatever I had till then was not enough, was not making me happy, where was happiness? And surely was not outside, but inside somewhere. That's when I met the Brahma Kumaris. And I was trying to find another way, something that would be complementary to whatever I was having till then. And probably the two incredible world of having and being. No problem in having, but being was the missing piece. And so I think sometime checking the self and asking, am I happy, is very important. It has been important to me, at least, because it made me move towards something more, something deeper. And I think we do have some kind of belief that prevent us to be happy. Beliefs like we need to work hard to be happy. It's so common to believe that we need to work hard to be happy. And if I work hard, I will get things, I will be successful, therefore I will be happy. And it's like saying, I will be happy when the situation, circumstances will give happiness to me, when I will be given happiness. And I don't think that works, really. The opposite is, if I'm happy, if I'm content in some way, I will work better and I will get things easier. So why should I choose the hardest way if I can choose the easiest way and be much more content? But of course, another belief that goes with let's work hard to get things, it's I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of being happy. And here is the relationship that we do have with mistakes. Of course, we do a lot of mistakes. But what is the relationship that I have with my own mistakes? It's a relationship that define the way I treat myself and the way I talk to myself, the way I think of myself. And, you know, all the guilty feelings. I remember last year I was asked to do something with guilty feelings, which is so common in this country, very strongly. And I think I spent quite a while, weeks, in searching, reflecting, clarifying about guilty feelings, because they prevent us to be happy enormously. And it's just the mindset It's just my mind going into the wrong track, and I build up my heaviness, my sadness, being miserable at the end of the day. And another belief is I will be happy when. I will be happy when I will retire. I will be happy when the children will be independent. I will be happy when the neighbor will move away. Do you have a neighbor that it will be nice not to have around? Or I will be happy when my mother-in-law will be gone. Or I will be happy when I will make a lot of money. So if we condition our happiness to some point in the future, then that point maybe will never come. We don't know. The reality outside is quite tough. Can I choose to do something now? Can I do it earlier than whenever? Also because happy people are more concentrated, calm, reliable, less stressed, more loved. Somebody happy, you enjoy when it comes. Somebody unhappy and, you know, moody, grumpy, you enjoy when they go. So which one would you prefer to be? The one that people are happy when you arrive and happy that you stay, or the one that people are happy when you go? So I think it's good to challenge our some of our beliefs, because we've got so many. We've got so many beliefs that we don't even know we have them. So how much am I willing to challenge them so that I can change and just melt them away? I think this was, for me, the gift of understanding something that was related to my inner world. I was so happy to know and to get some information that would speak to me about me. Because we speak about people, we hear information about everything in the world, but what about ourselves? What about our inner world, which is the most important reality that we own? And we neglect it, we underestimate it, we don't take care like something precious we should deal like a diamond. And so understanding something more about our inner world, it's, I think, essential to be happier. And a few practices. I think I like to be practical. I've always been very practical. So something that can define some practices, if you don't mind, I'd like to share that. Like, I really need to improve the understanding of my own value, detecting the resources that I have, because each one of us is extremely rich inside. And I think it's the best vision that we can hold for each other to perceive and to catch at the best of each other. Sometimes people relate to each other, but they relate to the worst and they fight. But we can relate to the best, and it's a choice. It's a choice that opens the door of happiness, because it's called respect and also awareness. And so understanding, detecting my own value, it's a specific path to which I might dedicate some time every day. Just sit and check, how do I feel? I like very much in the morning to just sit quietly and just feel, where am I at? What am I thinking? Why? Just connect with me. I'm the most important person for me. In fact, when I, I started with the Brahma Kumaris quite a few years ago, I remember thinking, oh gosh, why have I not thought about these things before? They are so obvious. You know, my inner world is important, obviously. Why have I not paid attention to that? And I actually denied hurting myself, hurting people. Why, what prevent me to really know my value? Because if I know my value, I surely become more happy, but I also become more ready, more stable to face the incredible challenge of life nowadays. And beside that, I'm able to understand the value of people. And I think people really need to be valued, appreciated, acknowledged, to make them happy. Do you know the story of the $100? I like stories. If you know, bear with me, but I will tell anyway. It's a story of one speaker going up front in a public talk with the $100 note. It could be £100, just the 100, something consistent. And he showed the $100 note to the public, and he said, asked them, do you want these $100? Of course, everybody raised their hand saying, of course, yes. Yeah, it's good. We don't buy much nowadays with $100, but still very good. Then he crushed them, like squeezed them, and he became a kind of little ball. And he said, now, who wants them? And everybody raised their hand. Of course, it's still $100. Then he threw them on the floor, put his feet, his shoes, not so clean, on top. So it became something a bit unclear and a bit dirty. He pulled it up again, showed it to the public and said, now, who wants them? Everybody raised their hand saying, yes, still $100, still worth. And so the speaker said, that's the end of the lesson. That was the idea of showing that it doesn't matter if you are a bit like that, a bit dirty, a bit, you know, broken, you still have value. Can I see people's value and my own value in spite of being squeezed by life, in spite of being, you know, not so clear, not so clean, yet the value is still there and nobody can take it away because we come with that value as souls. So I think to improve the understanding of our own values will make us much more stable. And when I'm stable, I'm much more inclined to be happy and to make people happy, because that's what it will come from my heart. And it's sometimes people say it's not so easy to detect the value, because, you know, easy to say, not so easy to experience. But because of conflict, because of personalities issue, because of having accumulated things from the past. But that's, I think, the work that is meant to be done inside. Bypass whatever. It's making everything unclear. There is a way. Thinking, meditating, letting go, releasing, you know, bad feeling from the past. It's a choice. In my experience, it has been just a choice. I choose to be happy. I choose to be clean. I choose to go in my heart and decide to do a good cleaning. Not willing to carry burden. For how long do we want to carry burdens? It's really a choice. And another practice is to don't postpone. You know, procrastinating, postponing things is like delaying the possibility of being happy. Like I was saying before, you know, when I will retire then. When I will be promoted at work then. If I delay things, if I postpone things, then I will feel always at the edge of doing something, not completing it, not making it concrete. So it's like being halfway through. I don't know if it's clear. And if I'm halfway through, I can't be happy. I will be worrying, thinking too much, being a bit confused. I hope it's clear. And so whatever you can do, do it now. Don't delay it. If you need to forgive, forgive now. If you need to change, change now. I remember many years ago, the first time I met Sister Genti, our responsible in Europe. And it was the first time for me to meet her. She came to Rome, and it happened that I was there. So it was a great chance. And she was meditating, and it was quite a long meditation. And at the end of the meditation, she said a phrase that I still remember, 33 years ago. And she said, "If you think the victory is far off, then between now and then, many things can happen. No, victory is here and now." And you know, those words were like an arrow. I was just struck by those words that I still remember. They were exactly or more or less like that. And for me, they meant, if you want to change, do it now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate it. Victory is here now. It's in your choice. is in your determined thought of love for yourself, of love for truth. Do it now. And I still remember them after so many years, because they did change my life. After those words, so that means 30 seconds, I decided that I was going to take some steps, and I did. So they were quite relevant to me. Don't postpone. Time is actually warning us. It's an interesting time. Definitely interesting time. Don't postpone. If you need to even clarify things with people, do it. Don't wait. And another practice, it's keep giving. Giving makes us happy. And don't wait for Christmas, of course, it's a giving time. But I like the phrase that says, the map of life is such that it multiplies whatever you share. The more you share, the more you multiply. It's an interesting mathematic. Giving pleases the heart. And I think that givers are much happier than takers. And of course, understanding the law of karma, it's even more relevant. But watching people as we do while relating this knowledge or interacting with a lot of people, it's so clear that those who are happier are givers. And those who are takers, they always worry. There is always something to worry about. There is always fears. There are always concerns. But it's good to think that we come naked on this earth. We will live naked. And so keep giving as much as you can. The return of that, not just in terms of karma, of course in terms of karma, but not just on a practical level, but also in terms of feeling very good inside. Feeling happy, content, satisfied. It's like you do what's right. You know, when we do what's right, we know. Our consciousness knows. And we feel serene. There is a deep sense of serenity in giving because it's like I'm aligned myself with my own truth, with the best part of myself. And I do believe that very, very much. There is a deep secret in giving that you will never lack anything. Never. And I saw many examples of this. Another practice is not to judge too quickly, because people, they are judges, too much critical, complain a lot. They are always heavy, grumpy, not easy to be happy, not easy to make them happy. They are very unstable. They can be happy for a little time and, you know, in a bad mood for a longer time. So complain less, appreciate more, be a life slogan, an important quote, complain less, appreciate more, is so essential. And when people meet each other, often complaining and judging and gossiping seems to be the way of talking. Maybe they don't know what to say otherwise. That's why I really like this knowledge, what we study in the Brahma Kumaris, because it provides us something deep to talk about. And it makes our conversation meaningful. And it's like I should come out of a dialogue, of a conversation, enriched, not depleted of my energy. And I should be able to provide this and to get this within a conversation with people. And another practice is to nourish the inner world, because like peace, it's another door to happiness. So any kind of paying attention to whatever happened inside, knowing that in spite of whatever bad habit I have, behind the defect, there is a virtue. A defect or a weakness, it's a virtue that's lost power and therefore became a weakness. But if I can inject power in the weakness, it just rises up again and it becomes a virtue. So if I've got a lot of weaknesses, it's not a problem. That means I've got a lot of virtues too, because the virtues is at the other end of a weakness. And I remember a story of a king, and the king announced a kind of proclamation to have the most beautiful drawing on peace. So he proclaimed that to the entire kingdom, whoever would bring the best drawing on peace. So many drawings came in, and eventually two were chosen. One as the final, you know, ones. One drawing was describing a beautiful paradisiacal, I would say, heavenly scenario. Beautiful, very harmonious, everything tip-top, paradise. The other was very dark, with thunder and the mountain dark with fog, quite heavy, but with the rock, a rock that was evident, and in the rock there was a crack, and in the crack a bird was visible sitting on a branch of a tree in the wood. And within the crack, the image was so peaceful, was so serene. And this second drawing won because it was indicating, it was revealing the importance of remaining peaceful in chaos. And I like this story because this world is a bit chaotic. It's definitely in a mess. So we are all in the same boat. But still, there is a crack in the dark rock. And within that, there is a dimension of peace, a dimension of serenity, a dimension of silence that we can experience. And peace is the door to happiness. I can't be happy if there is no peace. If I'm peaceless or upset, I can't be happy. So it's good to remember there is a dimension of silence within, a dimension of peace, a dimension of deep quietness, stillness inside that I can access whenever I want and go completely beyond all the rest. And of course, one more practice connected with silence. Am I meant to read the comment?
No, I'll put the questions to you after your meditation.
Okay. Yeah. One more point to practice. It's the missing relationship. Like we are so accustomed to relate horizontally to people, giving, taking, sharing, you know, this kind of human social interaction, which is essential. And we saw with the lockdown how essential and healthy is to relate to each other. I think we miss that. But the vertical relationship is equally important. When I discovered that, because it was not part of my life at all, actually, I did reject whatever was spiritual consistently. But when I discovered and I experienced it, I felt there was a real missing portion of experience in my life. And I really wish that everybody can integrate that kind of experience so that I can enjoy that energy, that connection, that yoga, which is the union with God, with the divine, with the light. As much as I interact with people, and it's like being complete in a way. I can interact spiritually in silence with that source of so much inspiration and support and protection as much as I relate to the rest of the human being. And if I deny human being and just stay with that, I don't know if it will work for me. I guess not. But if I only relate to human being and not that one, I won't feel happy either. Actually, I feel very happy when I can draw that kind of energy, fill my heart with that love and share it. And use it to implement something better on a practical level. And so I think that plays a major role, even though it's very subtle, very little tangible, but plays a major role. And on a statistic level, research said that one happy person can make 1,000 people happy. It's a statistic. I don't know how reliable it can be, But one happy person can influence with his own happiness 1,000 people. That's a good thing. So I thought, why not? Are you also willing to be one person happy that can influence 1,000? And then we know that the domino effect will make many more thousands. And of course, I think in each one's heart, you know, the deep wish in the heart is that this world can improve a bit, becomes less chaotic, more peaceful, less egocentric or egoistic, and more generous, more loving, more happy, happier. And so if I really want a happier place to live, a more peaceful place to live, I need to start myself. I deeply believe that. And then many people can catch, can be inspired, can follow you, because it's probably the biggest call of time. Do something on yourself. And I was curious, touched, when I came to know that there is an International Day of Happiness, I guess you know already, which was founded by the United Nations in 2012. And the first time that it was introduced was the 13th March 2013. And so there is an International Day of Happiness, which is good. It's a kind of, let's celebrate one day dedicated to happiness. But it shouldn't stay just one day a year. It's probably too little, even though it's probably a reminder of being more happy. But it will be good if every day becomes colored by happiness in one way or another. And I don't think that happiness is something that is so showy and extrovert. Sometimes it's just a state of mind, a silent feeling of being in tune with everything, being aligned with everything, being yourself. Just the idea of being myself makes me happy, even when knowing that I'm not perfect. I can't do everything in a tip-top way, it doesn't matter. I'm happy to risk, and I'm happy to use courage. I'm happy to implement whatever needs to be implemented. And we know that if you risk something, to do something different, to do something deeper, to explore a different dimension, to consider another horizon, then with risk, mistakes come. But never mind. That courage will pay you back a lot. And I think happiness is part of the return of courage. The courage to change, the courage to be truthful, the courage to be honest, the courage to be real. That will give you so much good feeling back. I don't know how much time do I have.
I think it would be nice if we had a short meditation, and then there would be a little bit of time for questions and answers left.
Yeah, Surely. Okay. So we do a little meditation. And I like to withdraw from whatever happened today. So many things, so many thoughts. It's like concentrating myself in my inner world, leaving everything else outside. Like having an inner room behind the eyes where I can go back, being silent, being with me, relax and enjoy your own company. Becoming aware of your own value, right there, behind your eyes, in the silent, joyful room of your inner world. That's where I begin to watch my own thoughts and choose the thoughts I would like to experience. I can choose them. I can create them. I can guide my mind to an experience of love, of joy. I am love. And I repeat these few times in my mind. Because where there is love, there is happiness. I am peace. And I feel my inner atmosphere with that. And where there is peace, there is happiness. I'm aware of this inner dimension where the light of my own being can awaken the best of myself and connect with one thought, with that divine light. And absorb his energy. The heart becomes happy. Meeting again, my father, my mother, my friend. And that's just a journey inside with few thoughts that create a feeling, an awareness.
Thank you, Antonella. That was really beautiful.
Thank you.